Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 10, episode 1 of Das Daily Zeitgeist.
Yeah.
For December 11th, 2017, my name is Jack O'Brien, aka Potatoes O'Brien, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Yes, it is I, Miles Don't Lie, to the FBI. How is everybody?
And we are thrilled to be joined by, for the second time, the hilarious stand-up and hilarious podcast guest, one of our audience and our favorite first time around, Caitlin Gill.
Hey, mess with the Gill, you get the whole piranha.
There you
here
go.
I am.
Hey, that's
Caitlin,
pretty good.
Ready to shine.
That's
mess
what you
with
say
the
Gill,
get the whole piranha.
That's
I like
what she
that.
Says anytime she enters the room, too.
Oh, man, I should.
Yeah, that
just
is
kick
awesome.
Open a door. You messed with the Gill. You're getting the piranha. I don't know how popular a dinner guest that would be.
I feel like after the second time, people will be like, please don't invite her. She's broken 3 doors now.
You can't tempt me. That's one of those jokes you could push past unfunny into really funny.
Yeah, right,
but
right.
I don't want to invest that much in that.
Okay. But I would like to see that joke evolve over time. Like,
we'll
we're going whole hog.
Back.
Yeah, eventually the absurdity of it will turn into laughter.
Caitlin, what's something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Oh, man. I definitely looked up a lot about the difference between dry skin and flea bites, both for myself and my dog. I'm speaking very naturally. That is the first piece of revealing information that came into my mind to
right.
tell you. I'm sure there's grosser things in my search history, like stepfamilies doing things to each other, but I just like to explore America's fantasies. Anyway, both my dog and I are itching, and I was trying to determine if it was our skin attacking
yeah,
us or other animals.
Wait, yeah. Did you have anything, like, visually to suggest, like, it was still up in the air? Because I feel like flea bites are, like, little red bites.
They are little and red. I found out when I was in Atlanta for a couple months that I'm allergic to fire ants, and now I'm afraid of every insect biting me ever. So there
gotcha.
Was some cross-research with the possibility of being allergic. I just wanted to know why my dog was itchy, and then I rubbed her with oil, and now she's not itchy anymore.
Yeah. Aww. Fish oil is great for dogs.
Yes. I used a vitamin E-based oil thing. She's anyway, so hot tip, Daily Zeitgeist listeners. Got an itchy dog? You just rub that shit with oil.
What kind of oil?
You can use anything.
Motor oil?
I mean, I'd refrain.
Okay.
But if you want your dog to run right, you fill it up with motor oil every 3,000 miles.
Follow it up with palm olive to wash it off, like they do those ducks.
Caitlin, what's something that you think is overrated?
Can I give you my underrated first? Because I have a pair here. They're a little bit related. Thank you for letting me shake up your paradigm.
No, if anyone's going to shake it up, it's you, Caitlin.
Underrated night drives. I just took a night drive last night. I came back to L.A. from San Francisco because I wanted to be here with you for this podcast this morning. No traffic. No sun. Beautiful moonlight. I don't have to look at the fields on the 5 because there's nothing much to look at. I'm not trying to insult you, Gustine, but honestly, honey, you're not that pretty from the outside. It was just, I shouldn't have called out a specific town. Gustine, I said that name because I routinely use the gas station outside of your city. I respect you and I'm glad you're there.
Well, now they're going to be checking for you next time you go to that gas
That's
station.
Totally
like,
fair.
Hold
God
on.
Damn it,
Caitlin.
I ruined my 5 spot. I just love a night drive for its speed and people, you know, underrate it because it's, I guess, nighttime when you'd rather be sleeping. But maybe you just sleep in as long as you can and then you hit that Great American Highway in the nighttime.
Just you and truckers.
So by night drive,
dog and truckers.
You just mean like sort of traveling by car at night rather? Because I know some people like to just go for a drive. I'm not one of those people. And I thought for a second you just meant like, you know, it's great just blowing some steam off with
a
night drive.
I'm not saying that's not great.
Yeah.
I think that also might be underrated. A little stressed, can't sleep. Just take yourself out for a spin.
Make sure
you can't sleep. Don't.
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah.
But
I've never gone to this extent, but some people will take their children who they can't get to sleep into the car drive around because children fall asleep pretty easily in cars.
My friend Chris does that with his son, Oliver.
Was that kid.
And he'll call me from a van and be like, yo, Oliver's sleeping, but let's talk right now. This is the only time. I'm like, all right, cool. And he'll just be like, we're just chilling in the driveway right now.
All right.
And overrated.
Finally, the eagerly awaited overrated.
Sleep. Who needs it, man?
Yeah,
fuck it. I'm fine right now. I feel great. I definitely didn't chew one extra B vitamin gummy before I came here, just depending on the surge of power. No, I feel why sleep, guys?
Yeah.
Just because your body demands it? What? Just because if you don't, you will actually die? I don't understand what the hullabaloo this sleeping thing.
Wow, you can do B vitamins and be, like, wired? That's great.
Oh, I don't know if that actually works, but it's what I've told myself.
Is that what we're calling speed now?
Yeah.
Vitamin
B
gummies?
That's going to be one of those things like a 1920s Sears catalog we look at it now, and it's like, you drugged out weirdos!
Yeah,
and in, like, 50 years, they're going to look back at my medicine cabinet, like, can you believe she took 8,000% of her B12s on purpose? This lady was a crackhead. Yeah, that's...
Right. All right, let's get into format. We're trying to take a sample of the ideas out there changing the world, trying to take the temperature of the shared consciousness of the human species or the nation at the very least. What are we thinking the temperature? Like 99.5?
I don't know if
right
it's hot.
Now.
I feel like we're a little cold right now.
All right.
I feel like we're
cold core temperature.
Maybe a 97.8. We're not quite at that 98.6. But, you know, what do I know?
And the way we like to open up is by asking our guest what something is that the zeitgeist, that the national shared consciousness has wrong from their experience.
Well, I'm the one who thinks sleep is overrated.
Right.
So maybe don't believe me.
But cocaine is perfectly healthy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
of course.
Well, right?
Right?
I mean, can't that just be my myth?
Right.
No, I guess I think last time I was here, my myth had to do with the ability of people of size to make adequate love.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't know why I went to that, but there it is. I don't know. I think I'm stuck with the road, and I guess the myth is that highways are full of America's best serial killers, and I'm going to say that maybe not. Maybe they've sought other jobs. I felt very safe on the highway in the past 2 nights. I'm going to say that America's highways are largely free of roaming serial killers.
We're declaring it right here and now.
Yeah.
We, at Cracked, we once interviewed a trucker, and they told us that from that high vantage point, you can like see into other people's cars.
Oh, yeah.
And people are masturbating and having a lot more sex than you would think whilst driving on America's highways.
Oh, maybe this is a myth we need to talk about because, honey, yes. Yeah, that's happening.
Masturbating while driving seems wild to me.
Yeah, that's way more dangerous than drunk
driving.
There's
no way I could do it.
I'm going to say that it's not. I'm going to say for a fact, God, am I the only person in the room who's done it? Honesty and vulnerability will always be the death knell of me. I feel it's less, I mean, maybe people assume that it's rare for women. It's not. It'll really clear your mind.
I'm one of these people who has orgasms where I have no motor skill control at any point. Like, yeah. I couldn't just be cool and like hold the steer. I mean, there's no way I would crash the car and probably kill myself.
We don't need to focus on this for long, but I'm fascinated. There is no degree of severity or intensity for mm-hmm. your orgasm. You have a one note, high pitched, super all powered orgasm every orgasm.
Yeah, I guess so.
Certainly not a thing that I can.
Man, I have, yeah.
Jack?
I would jerk the wheel.
It's not a thing that I can control. Like, how I can't be like, all right, I'm going to have a mild one right now.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah.
This would be a time that, yeah. So, like, what if I tried to have one while driving? I think everybody around me would be in some trouble.
Yeah, so shout outs to the people who have the steely nerves to masturbate while driving, because maybe you guys are the real heroes.
Steely
out
nerves,
there.
It's boredom happening. And shame, either one, whatever. Right. It's, yeah, yeah. You know, whatever it takes.
Yeah, just need that danger. Need to be flying through the air at 70 miles per hour to get things going.
It's another, you know? Yeah. It's like the cousin of autoerotic asphyxiation.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Auto. I'll see myself out. Thank you very much for
autoerotic
having me.
Autoerotic asphyxiation.
All right, Nick, we can cut recording. We got the episode.
We got it. All right, let's get into the news of the day. There was a terror attack this morning, but that was not our president's first tweet of the day. Rather, it was his response to this amazing New York Times article that came out over the weekend. Might have come out on Friday, but it was actually printed. It was their front page article yesterday in the Sunday Times. In the actual paper version, because I was on vacation, I read paper versions of newspapers when I'm on vacation. And in the paper, it was called President versus the Presidency, but that's, I don't think, what it was called in the online version. But it was just sort of a run through of like a day in the life of Donald Trump during the first year of his presidency. And he wanted to let people know that he doesn't watch that much TV this morning in his first tweet of the day. but because that's where the president started, that's where we're going to start. We'll get to the terror attack a little later on. But so among the highlights, he drinks 12 Diet Cokes a day and watches anywhere from 4 to 8 hours of TV a day. There's this great moment where they talk about not just the rumor that he watches a lot of TV, but his response to the rumor. So during his trip to Asia, he was handed a fact check sheet that mentioned, this fact that he watches 4 to 8 hours of TV a day. And so during like the press scrum where the media, he goes back and sits with the media on Air Force One, or they come up and hang with him, somebody asked him a question about Roy Moore, and his response was, believe it or not, even when I'm in Washington or New York, I do not watch much television. Mm-hmm. People that don't know me, they like to say I watch television. People with fake sources, you know, fake reporters, fake sources. Mm-hmm. But I don't get to watch much television, primarily because of documents. I'm reading documents a lot. I actually read much more. I read you people much more than I watch the TV. I haven't been able to devote very much time to it.
Hey, I read documents.
I'm too busy reading these documents.
Well, I'm reading paperwork.
Yeah.
Right.
They put words on the pieces.
I don't watch the electronic flip book.
It's like the press is asking him, sir, did you get a D in history? Sir, did you get a D- in history? I did not get an F in algebra.
Right. Like, yeah.
We're asking you about a separate failure. The question we were asking you was about a separate fault.
My favorite quote from the article is not a quote that he said, but just the way the article is written. They say, to an extent that would stun outsiders, Mr. Trump, the most talked about human on the planet, is still delighted when he sees his name in the headlines. And he is on a perpetual quest to see it there. One former top advisor said Mr. Trump grew uncomfortable after 2 or 3 days of peace and could not handle watching the news without seeing himself on it. So, you know, when it seems like, wow, we're actually having moments where Trump isn't dominating the headlines, and then he suddenly like surges back to the headlines by doing something crazy, that is by design. He is like, whoa, Trump has not been making people completely terrified or angry on a like daily basis for a while.
Yeah.
So,
and is it his addiction to it, to Twitter basically, and like social media, that feedback loop of like, I do the thing and then I get likes or retweets. It's permeated into like, okay, now I've conquered Twitter. Now go another level, I guess, world news,
right?
Which is like the ultimate Twitter. And I can just be like, oh, I'm going to say one thing. Oh, now look at me. I'm back on the pages. What's right. interesting too about there's another line from that article about how he'll even call people up when he thinks he has a fire tweet. And
right.
One of it says, in June, according to a longtime advisor, he excitedly called friends to say he had the perfect tweet to neutralize the Russia investigation. He called it a, quote, witch hunt. They were unimpressed.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine if a comedian friend did that to you?
Oh,
I got a fire take. Oh, God. It's funny that, people, political analysts have been talking about Trump he's using this strategy that every time the news gets serious about Russia or another scandal that could harm his presidency, he strategically says something ridiculous on Twitter to distract us all, as if there isn't a day when there is not a story about that could take down his presidency. That's every day.
Right.
There is no master plan behind his dumb toilet tweets. He's just crapping and crapping. That's all that's happening.
Yeah,
right.
I've been watching too much Twilight Zone. There's a classic episode that you probably know is a pop culture reference about a little boy who can do anything he wants with his mind and a whole town that just appeases him because he's terrifying. He can wish you into the cornfield and then you just disappear into the cornfield where all the other bad things went.
Right.
So everything's good. Oh, that's very good that you did that. It's very good that you made that human being disappear into a horrible, nameless fate. That's very good.
Because they're scared of him.
And I knew that episode is like a cultural touchstone, but I didn't remember the ending. And I watched it recently, and there is no ending. The town just stays like that. That shitty kid wishes a nice man into the cornfield, and then the end of the episode is like, I guess that was great. He turns a man's head into a jack-in-the-box, so it pops off his body, and then his parents beg him to wish that grotesque vision into the cornfield. That's good.
Wow.
End of the episode. That's what we're living in.
Yeah.
It's good that you tweeted that, Mr. President. A horrified, cowering staff hanging around a toe-headed little idiot boy who can wish people into a cornfield, or, you know, a detention center with his dumb mind.
Exactly.
So speaking of cowering staff, the article says, during the morning, aides monitor Fox and Friends live or through a transcription service in much the way commodities traders might keep tabs on market futures to predict the direction of their day. If someone on the show says something memorable and Mr. Trump does not immediately tweet about it, the president's staff knows he may be saving Fox News for later viewing on his recorder and instead watching MSNBC or CNN live, meaning he is likely to be in a foul mood to start the day. They're like, he's going to be mad.
He's not watching his favorite show.
Right.
America is, oh, God. It's like we're a housewife hoping we don't burn the roast so we don't get hit again. This is ridiculous.
He also said before, the article also mentions that before taking office, he told top aides to think of each presidential day as an episode in a television show in which he vanquishes rivals.
That's a person deeply connected with reality.
Yep.
Right. So
reality TV.
Reality television.
Right.
Yes.
But even like that's he's thinking about it as like carefully plotted, unrealistic. He's like, so every one of my days should be like a movie where there's a Hollywood ending where I like am the hero and you make me believe that.
Uh-huh.
Cool?
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You totally kicked Kim Jong-un's ass.
Yeah.
And
he's like, and I want it to be like surprising, like a TV show. You know, the plot should like, it should kind of come out of nowhere. I should be blindsided by how great I am.
I think your diaper's leaking or you're just regularly urinating on yourself. I'm not sure what it is as you say this. A couple other things. Was the food thing in this article too?
No. So that is just another detail from inside the Trump administration. I think this was actually from during the campaign. It was
right.
Because it's from Corey Lewandowski's campaign memoir, which is about to come out. The Washington Post pulled out some details that are just unbelievable. But obviously, it has to be from his campaign because Corey Lewandowski was, you know, fired after not that much time. But yeah, there's some great details about. So his diet is 2 Big Macs, 2 Filet-O-Fish, and a chocolate milkshake always. And he doesn't know how to eat pizza.
No, he scrapes the fucking toppings off and doesn't eat the dough. He just eats like molten cheese, sauce, and toppings. That's how this man eats pizza. Because, like, in another article, like, I think it was in Us Weekly or something, he's like, I never eat the dough.
Right. I never eat the dough.
I never eat the dough. I only eat the best parts. I never eat the dough. It's like, whoa, dude.
Like, that's bragging.
That's a fucking, you're that's so the scariest shit. Is so, if I saw someone eat a pizza like that, like, you would say something. If imagine if you were just in a room with, like, eating pizza or getting to know someone, and you see someone just freakishly scrape the toppings off and then just fork and knife job the cheese
just
and
like
toppings.
Slop.
Yeah,
just
and then
formless slop.
And you're like, whoa, that's cool, huh? What do you got going there? I never eat the dough. I'd be like, we got
to
get the fuck out of here. This dude is crazy.
But think of that as an independent dish.
Right.
Just a yeah. sauce swirl of melted sort of cheese with sliced meat and kind of cooked vegetables in it.
Yeah.
I don't know. That
but that's how a kid eats it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I only want the good part. I'll eat the cheese and the toppings.
Actually, there is a mention of his eating habits in the New York Times piece. They mention how he always relished gossiping over plates of well-done steak, salad slathered with Roquefort dressing and bacon crumbles, tureens of gravy, and massive slices of dessert with extra ice cream. Was this article written by an alien? Because they just said massive slices of dessert.
What, yeah.
Like, they just
wait, also,
know.
Where is all that? What's all the gravy for?
Yo, the steak, man. I guess, like, that's how he eats steak is, like, he, first of all, burns it to a crisp, so it's inedible, but then he softens it up with gravy.
Oh, my God. Bless you.
Just take a regular steak and put a little butter on it,
it's
buddy.
Almost
that's
like,
what you're doing.
It's almost like every one of his meals is, like, a challenge. Like, nothing can kill me.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, my God. It's like that YouTube channel, Epic Mealtime.
Right.
But it's like, how can I make the most disgusting thing ever?
Right.
I just also love the phrase gossiping. Like, who are you talking about over that meal?
Right. Like, someone there's who's horrified watching you eat that's like, so, you see how I fucking own Kim Jong-un?
Did you see it's what like, Becky did the other day? Oh, my God, I can't believe she was wearing that.
And you're like, yes, Mr. President, that's great. Yes, thank you.
I'm almost more impressed by him than anything. Like, the fact that he can put away 12 Diet Cokes in a day.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Diet Coke, if I drink one, which I do, like,
which you
during
are.
Every recording, I feel like I've poisoned myself. But
right.
It's like a good caffeine delivery
But
system.
Imagine you're a person who hates himself so much that he's trying to poison himself.
Right. But, like, know? He's just, it gives him power. It's like,
right, he's powered up.
If you'll recall
aspartame.
My Diet yeah. Coke position from the last time
right.
I was here.
You were right. I was wrong.
You're not wrong. I mean, you're right if you love it. But 12 yeah. of them is definitely...
A lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is... What is that, 144 ounces?
It's yeah. it's too many ounces.
Squared.
That is. That's good
that's
math.
Wild.
Can you imagine just doing that as shots?
Oh my God, no.
Like just
like
tiny shot glasses.
It.
Yeah, you have to power out.
About
you think about
it.
That's 2.5 power hours.
Right.
Of Diet Coke a day.
Yep.
Oh God. My body.
Right.
More poison. He has like a button.
More.
I want more poison.
More aspartame.
He does have
aspartame, Mr. President.
Aspartame.
No, it's an ass and it's part of me.
Yeah.
He does have a button, allegedly, that he presses his Diet Coke button. It's like
that's
just...
right next to the lock the doors button.
Right. Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. So we want to get right into Sex Crim Watch, a.k.a. Benghazi.
Benghazi.
It's a portmanteau. And that's just the rest of the episode.
Yeah, keep talking, boys. Keep talking.
Mario Batali, how surprised are we by this?
Not very.
Super producer Anna Hosnier was saying that she saw his appearance on the untitled Action Bronson project, and that he was just all sorts of sort of out of his mind, just, I don't know, all over the place. And so she wasn't surprised by it. But Miles, you were saying you weren't surprised by it for another reason.
Well, no, I mean, I have friends that work in restaurants, and I know how they like to blow steam off, like especially after work. And I've also read Kitchen Confidential, which was my first glimpse into like kitchens. And these dudes fucking are wild. Like, they're doing drugs, they drink all the time, they're like, not that they're evil people, but these aren't people who are like, they're not trying to conduct business in an overly professional way, right? Like, they're just dudes who are in the back of a hot room all day, and like, there's no rules,
right? So just consuming and making things, and yeah,
absolutely. And also when you look at it too, like, they're like, after like looking into this a little bit more, the hospitality industry has like the highest reported incidences of sexual harassment. Like, there's no other industry that comes close.
Right. So this is interesting because I think we've talked about, you know, is this sort of movement going to be just a Hollywood thing? And I mean, I guess you could say it still is because Batali is sort of a Hollywood chef. But that's a crazy statistic that there are industries, and the restaurant industry being the top one,
yeah,
where 85% of employees.
There's an restaurant workers advocacy group that has a, like, based on some of their research, they found that 80% of workers in the restaurant industry report being sexually harassed. 80 fucking percent.
That is absurd.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like totally normal. It's like, it's almost a normalized part of our culture that we have until now just totally accepted.
Yeah, right.
As being okay.
Right.
I mean, if you watch our ancient media, like, say, in the 90s or even before, like, the idea, like, the figure of a waitress in pop culture, a waitress in particular, is just always, like, a butt to be slapped or,
right,
like,
right,
a face to put buttons on a vest and then you get to look at her tits because there's buttons on her vest. Like, even in media, which seems to be, like, as the discussion is this only a Hollywood thing, like, Hollywood portrays that industry as a den of sexual harassment.
Right.
And the reality is painfully, terrifyingly true. And as scary as a Weinstein is, and he's a fucking monster scary guy, like, there are Weinsteins at like every Applebee's, Chili's, TGI Fridays, and like drive-in diner anywhere.
Right.
Like, it, or at least in 85% of them.
Right.
Yeah. It's a horrifying, it's a, in such an intense industry. There's a study, I don't remember who did it or where it was, but I believe that I remember it, that the two most stressful professions by just measurable stress level are like surgeon and server. Those are the two. The how hard you work in the restaurant industry goes so underappreciated.
Right.
That almost how hard you suck goes underappreciated. Like, nobody sees it. Nobody sees how hard you're working. Nobody sees how dark and kind of gross it can get. It's just, you know, I guess tip 25% next time you go out.
Right, right.
Because somebody got her butt patted or worse to bring you that ranch dressing.
Well, yeah, then it seems like there's even some of the other articles about sort of the harassment in the industry, too. It's like, it's also kind of a regular story for servers to be trapped in the walk-in refrigerator.
Oh, totally.
Constantly. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see how like this, like you said, if in the beginning we thought it was like limited to Hollywood, and I guess Batali is some extension of that, but we'll see. Like, I hope that this creates a actual sea change or cultural shift in that industry.
Not only not just Hollywood, but Hollywood is reflecting what's happening in the rest of the world. So the same way, I mean, as a person in comedy, this is a crazy thing to keep looking at, but the same way there was a machine around Louis C.K. to make it okay for him to jerk off in front of women and then lie about it, that is a reflection of the machine that keeps your garbage shift leader there at your garbage restaurant job,
right,
even though he's done creepy shit to every girl on staff. The same machine is working. Don't complain. It's easier if you don't complain. I don't know. Wear a different shirt. He'd wear green. He hates green. Like that. Hollywood didn't invent that. It didn't come from here. That was the world. And then Hollywood used that model. And there's too much light shining here in the showbiz. And it shined on some darkness. And that darkness is revealing that it wasn't. It's everywhere.
Yeah,
everywhere.
Right. Yeah.
Everywhere is darkness.
And I guess the question is, will people in other industries have a mechanism for reporting these people? Because the reason that this sort of sea change is happening in Hollywood is because they're able to, you know, get media attention because these are famous people behaving like monsters. If it's your shift manager at Applebee's, then, you know, who is going to give enough of a
shit
when you report? Right.
Oh, wait.
No, unions? No.
Yeah.
More gravy.
No, those were bad for democracy. And then there was a press conference this morning where three of Donald Trump's accusers. Have you heard about this? Donald Trump, the president, has been accused of inappropriate sexual behavior.
No sexual behavior he could engage in would be considered appropriate.
So Rachel Crooks, Samantha Holvey, and Jessica Leeds are three of Trump's accusers. Rachel Crooks, who was forcibly kissed by Trump at Trump Tower when she worked as a receptionist. Samantha Holvey was a former Miss USA contestant who says the president walked into the dressing room to inspect the women.
Just lie. Say you're there to inspect the AC unit.
Right.
Say anything else. AC unit can mean whatever you want it to mean. Just, ugh,
You could even say, like,
women.
Were there two Filet-O-Fishes in here? I could have swore I left them in here. anything.
And then Jessica Leeds, who said Trump groped and kissed her on an airplane.
You can't get out of an airplane.
And then
you can't leave. You're in the sky.
Right. It's reminiscent of the scene in Star Wars where Han Solo like has Princess Leia trapped against the, like, where are you gonna go, huh?
It's
that
like
scene
a boat. The implication.
Very rapey. Yeah. So we actually have a clip from, so we want to, every time we bring up Benghazi, just play a clip of what exactly Trump is being accused of, and we have audio of The Apprentice star Summer Zervos, who. So she met with Trump once in Trump Tower, and he kissed her, and she was weirded out by that, but was like, celebrities are strange. He, was doing it almost as a greeting. And then he invited her to a meal in his hotel room, which we now know, post-Benghazi, that is a red flag, but she accepted the invitation. She thought they were just going to meet in his room and then go out to dinner, but obviously, he had other ideas.
I was standing in the entryway. To my left was a bedroom, and I saw Mr. Trump's clothes on the bed. I did not see him, but he greeted me with hello in a sing-song voice. It sounded like, hello. I thought the mistake had been made, and Mr. Trump thought he was speaking to someone he was more familiar with. I walked further into the living room, away from the bedroom, and sat down. I waited for about 15 minutes until Mr. Trump emerged. He had his suit on. I stood up, and he came to me and started kissing me open-mouthed as he was pulling me towards him. I walked away, and I sat down in a chair. He was on a love seat across from me, and I made an attempt at conversation. He then asked me to sit next to him. I complied. He then grabbed my shoulder and began kissing me again very aggressively and placed his hand on my breast. I pulled back and walked to another part of the room. He then walked up, grabbed my hand, and walked me into the bedroom.
He then proceeded to grope her breast and, quote, began thrusting his genitals on her. So that's disturbing.
Yep.
Okay, so I left my body.
Well, you know,
thank you for playing that. Thank you for using your words. Raise your voice. That happened to you.
Yeah.
That happened to you.
Yeah.
That's.
Ugh. And we want to remind people that that's sort of the reason why we keep playing, like on Friday, Rachel Crooks, we had her account of her interaction with Trump where he tried to basically kiss her, you know, because we are holding many other people accountable. Mm-hmm. And it's still important that because like we say, it's so easy to fucking forget or just not want to remember this other shit. That, you know, we also have to remind ourselves that the person holding the highest office is also a fucking sex crim, and he's assaulting women. And again, because of like this very similar power structures that protect the Weinsteins and the Louis of the world, they protect Trump too, because people have a lot to lose by this man not being in office. And that's just a shame. And I think, you know, we have to keep on this.
I don't know who's left that has a lot to lose. Like, that's a list of like 20 people, and they're all like the Order of the 12 or some Illuminati conspiracy shit. Like,
right.
I don't know who's left that's benefiting.
I mean, look at that tax plan, too.
I know.
Right. And yeah, so I think there's been some claims that she is doing this because Gloria Allred paid her $500,000, but they have produced witnesses who came forward and were like, yeah, no, she told us about this like right after it happened and before he ran for president, because his claim is that this is like all part of a liberal, establishment conspiracy.
Yeah, it's the same. Roy Moore is using the same playbook.
Yeah.
You know, it's all liberal, transgendered, gay, social justice warriors who are trying to, you know, ruin me, smear a good man.
I've been a proud Democrat all my life, and this party is far too inept to execute such a broad sweeping conspiracy.
Right,
right.
To, you know, design and manufacture these stories of women dating back decades that all accuse this guy of the same behavior. But yeah, somehow that's cooked up.
Right.
By a party that can't agree on a slogan that works. Like, there's no world in which Democrats are capable of weaving this web.
Yeah, who've proven time and time again that very capable of fucking even the simplest things up.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Let alone, yeah.
Like Doug Jones is barely winning.
Yeah.
I don't know if he is winning.
Who knows? Yeah.
Yeah, that's one interesting thing. Fox News keeps being like, Doug Jones up by double digits, but I don't know. I feel like it's them trying to
gaslighting Republicans
people.
To get out.
Yeah, gaslighting Republicans to get out the vote. But so on this theme of, you know, non-famous sexual harassment, we wanted to talk about Silicon Valley because, Miles, you have some
friends who work in Silicon Valley, and talking to them, it's interesting that because, you know, Silicon Valley is notoriously just a very hostile place for women to work, that there was some feeling that he wouldn't be surprised if there was like this backlash coming because it's possible in many industries. And I guess that, you know, a lot of these men who are in positions of power aren't really looking at these accusations as, wait, this behavior is appalling, unacceptable. That is why it needs to stop, rather than some people got loud enough and they got their way. So, you know, like, fuck it. Like, I guess they win today. But we're not doing anything wrong. And that's like kind of a very scary prospect, right? Because like this idea of like moral licensing we can see the pendulum swing all the way back very quickly. Like, so, you know, the idea of moral licensing is that sort of, you know, if you say you give yourself to do something bad because you've been good all day or you've done good enough. So like whether it's, mm-hmm. you know, like, oh, well, I can eat this because I ate, you know, nothing against my diet for the rest of the day. I can just eat this entire cake. Or, you know, we voted for Obama, so we're not racist. That means we can vote for Trump now because I did the good thing already. And right. so it's what's worrying is that that phenomenon could be at work even in this sort of moment we're at in history. If like, are people actually acknowledging what they're doing is actually unacceptable? Or are some people also kind of trying to protect their egos, their way of thinking, their worldview by just saying, you know, paying lip service to these things, but not actually internalizing or understanding that like, wait, no, this is not the way the world needs to be going forward.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, with Silicon Valley, I mean, it's white men are still in almost all of the positions of power. So I feel like a lot of these cases, people are learning their lessons as much as they are forced to learn their lessons. And, you know, like you saw even with the Google sort of screed, that guy who wrote like a long Google note about how, you know, women don't belong in the workplace, essentially, and that forcing women to like get jobs at Google was like hurting Google. That was something that had been up for weeks, apparently, before, and that his managers were aware of. And then it just broke publicly, and that's when he suddenly got fired. But, you know, there's a crazy article about the sort of sexual discrimination at Tesla and these companies that are beloved in America, where they will – female employees will hold a company-wide meeting where they're like, women are being discriminated against and it'll seem like everyone's doing the right thing. And then they'll have a meeting with one of the like higher ups and they'll be like, okay, here's your severance package right. for bringing this up. Like they, because they can get away with it, you know?
Right. And again, these companies too, they're dealing with massive amounts of money that paying settlements is probably nothing to them.
Like, oh, they're not worried about it.
Yeah. It's like, well, if like it could be seen as a cost of doing business,
yes,
right? Of like just moving people along,
and it's the it's so funny to listen to how men feel about this, because there's men like it seems like you guys both are, where it's like this behavior is disgusting. It's so amazing to watch this change, where people are being held accountable for it. I assume that like I have, you look back at your past actions and think about, you know, situations that you might have done something differently in. You grow, you change, and then there's this other reaction that I see from men and women, but men, where it's like, I guess they're coming for me now. Like, who knows what page yeah. in my history somebody's going to wildly misinterpret that I certainly shouldn't self-examine.
Right.
Oh, it's the witch hunt. We better tighten up the rules, because if we don't, they'll get away with telling on us. Like,
right.
you know, we better raise the, you know, money. We better get ready to pay more settlements because they're going to be coming in now.
Yeah, right.
Oh, how inconvenient.
Oh, what's the
for
next
me.
Lawsuit?
It's perspective that seems to pretty much prevail in Silicon Valley for a bunch of reasons. And one of them is all that money. That,
right.
You know, how could they be wrong? And the thing that terrifies me sincerely is that a place like Google, where it, that very publicly had that kind of manifesto get leaked that we've talked about, that's the same company that's like making devices that recognize our faces, that decide our desires and cater to us,
right.
that listen to us in our homes. I don't necessarily want the people making those products that look into my everyday life, that know everything about me and my word search history and whether or not I'm being bitten by fleas or have dry skin.
Right.
I don't need the people making that to be dickholes who think that I can't do math because I have a vagina. I
right.
don't need that.
Right.
I would really prefer to have a broader perspective involved in creating the technology that peers into my innermost life.
Right.
There's this effect that I forget. I think I read about it for the first time, like in high school in the People's History of America, the Zim book, where mm-hmm. He talks about how the U.S. Department of Defense used to be called the War Department, and then they changed their name to the Department of Defense the second they started fighting offensive wars, because just to like do the opposite, essentially, to, you know, cover things up. I'm reminded of that story every time I think of Google's motto being "Don't be evil." It's
yeah,
like
be googly,
right?
Right.
Just be. Don't be evil. Is like such a transparent. I don't know.
It's like, is it that easy to be evil?
Right.
That you're telling me, like, well, don't be evil.
Right.
Oh, cool. I get to decide what evil means.
Yeah, right.
Great.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back.
Hi.
So we want to at least mention the failed terror attack in Times Square, in one of the subway stations I would be most horrified to be attacked in. The guy was walking onto the ACE when he blew himself up with a poorly built improvised explosive device. This is actually the second time. So Times Square is always used as the, you know, threat. Like, what if a terrorist brings a suitcase dirty bomb into Times Square?
Right.
Then, like, that's the scary thing. But so far, we've had now two terror attacks attempted in Times Square that have just been completely fucked up. Like, there's this one where the guy blew himself up with a bomb that was so poorly built that it didn't even kill him. And I guess it injured 4 other people, so it's not funny to talk about how poorly built it is. But and then there was another guy who was actually funded. I didn't realize this. I knew that there was like a failed attack back in 2010. Apparently, he was financed by the Pakistani Taliban and was the guy who like left a car on a really crowded touristy street in Times Square, and people like a street vendor was like, "Hey, police. That car over there has smoke pouring out of it, and there are firecrackers going off inside of it." And I guess they had used the wrong type of fertilizer. They were trying Timothy McVeigh it.
So he just made a big firecracker?
Right. He just made a firecracker in his car. I think that firecrackers were actually the detonation device. And
it's really hard for an individual to change the world. Like, it takes a lot of steps, and it's pretty difficult. And our own homegrown terrorists aren't any better at it. Timothy McVeigh blew up the outside of the Oklahoma City building because he didn't know his truck wouldn't fit inside of its lower parking lot.
Right.
So it, like, just that, I mean, the rage, the impotent rage somebody has to feel to drive a vehicle full of ready-to-explode shit into a public space, it clouds your mind, and it really prevents you from doing some of your very important pre-planning.
Right.
Got to do that pre-pro.
You really do.
Yeah. So I don't know. I can't say whether we are just in like one very small thread of reality where the two people who tried to attack Times Square fucked up, or if there's something about, you know, our security apparatus that makes it hard for these people to, you know, build good bombs to attack, you know, Times Square.
Clearly must be, because I feel like these people seem to be, you know, like they're definitely not sophisticated people with experience handling explosives. Like, they're just probably reading something off the internet and then like making a mess of it. And I also feel like if you're actually buying like the kinds of things that you need to really make devastating bombs, like there probably are apparatuses out there to like kind of
keep an eye on you.
Yeah, to scan like, oh wait, how much you know, of this given thing are you buying? I mean, look, it's hard to say like you're glad that a terrorist attack didn't go well, but yeah, like it's.
Yeah. I mean, they talk about, you know, after an athlete has like five amazing games, they're like, well, you can expect him to return to the average about like where you would expect things to go. I feel like you could say the same about terror attacks. Like 9/11 went as well as like everything went perfectly.
That was like
plan.
Reggie Miller in the fourth quarter.
Right. That was Reggie Miller just like making 33s in a row. Like, it was just Al-Qaeda was unconscious that day, man. They were just like nailing everything.
It's like they didn't leave any loose change around. I'm just kidding. That's terrible.
And now we're seeing a return to the average.
I think that is very true, but it's also what makes terror so completely effective.
Right.
Because even when it doesn't go according to horrible, destructive, evil plans, it's still fucking terrifying.
Yeah, and it puts it in your mind.
And it calls on individuals to rise above fear, which is a tough thing to ask human beings to do. And we have to do it every day, and it is difficult and scary.
Well,
she's love you.
Yeah, and I know earlier you were talking about like if there's like an obsession with New York, especially like as a target. And I don't know if that's media created or whatever that is, like why terrorists feel like New York is always a good place to do that. But I even find myself like being a West Coast person, like when I go to New York, there are times like, because I used to work for a company that was like in the tower or at the New World Trade Center. And like when I go there, like you can't help but even when you visit New York, think of like just the terror attacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's like a very, like you're saying, Caitlin, like a weird thing that even if an attack doesn't go right, in my mind, subconsciously, you're like, wow, like things are possible here, mm-hmm. or they feel more real or whatever. And that is like the where the terror aspect comes in.
Yeah. And it is the most American. It like strikes at everything about America's ideals, like the great melting pot. And this is where all of our, I mean, if things made sense, you know, it would be the capital of America. And also it's a lot of people on top of each other, which also makes it make sense as a terror target. Let's get into the Golden Globe nominations, which,
natural transition.
Exactly.
Are you scared?
Good at this.
Let's distract ourselves.
Right. So, you know, Get Out got nominated for best comedy, for some reason, but
calling that a comedy is a violent act.
Right.
Well, that's also because that's how the studio submitted it.
Yeah. Right.
So it's not that the old elderly people of the Hollywood Foreign Press Association were like, that was a great comedy.
Yeah.
I just laughed and laughed at that. Yeah. Poor boy's fear.
Oh. The Shape of Water was the most nominated film, followed by, I think, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, which I saw over the weekend.
What do you think?
Very good.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought it was very good.
Although, I think it's criticism. People who've criticized it were right, and I loved every minute of it.
Yeah. I also saw Girls Trip over the weekend, and I thought that was
so good.
Amazing. I thought, like, I would have nominated that for Best Picture. That was so good. And Tiffany Haddish was mind-breakingly good.
Google her name and then watch everything she's ever done and every time she's been on television. I don't know if there is a more charming human being.
Neither the movie or Tiffany Haddish were nominated, which is insane.
But again, look, so, you know, I have an intimate relationship with the Hollywood Foreign Press in the form that my mother is in the HFPA. And a lot of the people in that vote are older. Mm-hmm. So they're not quite as in tune with those kinds of things. So I'm not totally surprised. But yeah, like it's tough because you're not really getting a fair shake at, or like a good look at everything that came out and mm-hmm. what could be good. There are a few things that seemed surprising too, because even like with Lady Bird got like a ton of nominations, but Greta Gerwig didn't get like a director's nod or anything like that. But I the Golden Globes aren't perfect, much like most award shows, because inevitably right. too, like these nominations will probably affect how the Academy members vote too.
Sure.
Yeah.
So
we'll see. Can I ask how I, Tonya did?
I don't know.
Any noms?
Don't know.
Because I saw that over the weekend, and if that is playing anywhere near you, go,
check it out.
Run.
Yeah.
Don't wait. Go. so good.
I was disappointed Logan didn't get a nomination. Huh. I thought that was really great.
Yeah.
Maybe as good as superhero comic book movies have been, with the possible exception of Dark Knight. And the crazy one for me, I always pay attention to best screenplay because I feel like in the Oscars, at least, best original screenplay is actually the place where they, I don't know if like the old people just sit that one out or what, but it's
right.
the one where they actually give the award to like the best movie or like the thing that I actually was most impressed by. They didn't nominate Get Out for best original screenplay in the Golden Globes, which is insane to me because that seems to be like one of the groundbreaking screenplays of the past like decade.
It's, right.
Yeah. It seems like that should have been up there. So hopefully that just gives the Academy an example of something not to do when they're nominating.
Has the Writers Guild had their nominations out for film yet? I know that TV
I don't know.
Came out. Well, I think hopefully you'd think that the Writers Guild would at least acknowledge that much because I don't know. I think it's over some of these people's heads in the HFPA.
Super producer Anna just informed me that I, Tonya, is up for best comedy/musical, you know, head to head with Get Out.
Right.
Two films that you could easily compare. And also calling I, Tonya a comedy is a touch dismissive. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a biopic. I don't know if it's a docu/mockumentary.
Because I think they submitted Wolf of Wall Street as a comedy too that year.
That's
right.
This year also. It's just weird because it's that they even create an opportunity for someone to submit a film.
Well, the Martian was a comedy.
Yeah. And you do that because like Best Picture's too congested.
Right.
And you'd be like, oh, well, here's a good way to like, we can say it has this bend. I think it's kind of gaming the system, I feel like.
Yeah. The Martian had a lot of laughs. I didn't think that one was quite as crazy as Get Out. Get Out
is Get Out is not funny.
Is not a
well,
comedy.
I think, but
it's
then the
brilliant.
People
it's
argue
perfect.
That it's like satirical at its core.
No,
right.
No, that's why it's a horror film.
Right.
Because it isn't.
Right. But again, this is how the studio was trying to rationalize why they submitted it as a comedy.
I saw Get Out on a plane, and it's one of those movies that sticks to your ribs. Wish I'd seen it in the theaters. It deserves it. But I wound up catching it on a plane. And I had to, like, get out of my seat and just walk around the aisle of the plane for a minute. And
right.
I just wanted somebody else to be watching it so I could be like, can we talk about this right now?
Right.
And
right.
nobody wanted to talk about it right now. But that movie, I think it's brilliant. And it deserves every accolade it gets. It is not a comedy.
Yeah.
I have never risen from my seat out of physical discomfort.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
At anything except for Meet the Parents.
Oh, and also they capture like some of the nuances of like the very sort of subtle forms of racism people of color experience. Like whether it's like, man, you're so cool.
Right.
Like that version too, where you're like, the first time I saw it, I was like, fuck, bro. Like that's some real shit. Like it's not, there are such good moments in that film that like really they're just so honest, but when told against like in the backdrop of the story, it's even crazier.
All right, and we just want to go out reminding everybody today or tomorrow, depending on when you're listening to this, is the Alabama Senate race.
Please,
it is Roy Moore Day in America, so it's, I don't know,
please go vote for Doug Jones if you are in Alabama. If you know anyone there, please tell them to not vote for Roy Moore.
It's been a strange final couple days for a couple reasons. One, there's just absolutely no consensus on who's winning. And like I said earlier, Fox News claims that Roy Moore is down by double digits. But then, you know, most sane polls are saying that
very close.
It's very close, and that Roy Moore is at least up by a couple percentage points. What's really weird, though, and Miles, you can speak to this a little bit, is that so the last 4 days of an election are you were saying it's known as like get out the vote.
Yeah, GOTV weekend.
Right.
Yeah. And that's where you really have to go knocking doors, going through your voter rolls, making sure you're calling people who you've ID'd as supporters to remind them to get out the vote on Tuesday. Tell your friends and family, blah, blah, blah. Like it's really it's the most important final push to really make sure that you activate all your supporters before an election. And like, yeah, when I was working politics, I did a lot of campaigns too, where you don't sleep. Mm-hmm. You like wake up like at 5 on Friday and you maybe sleep like 8 hours the entire weekend until Tuesday because you're just doing so many things to get this done. And yeah, Roy Moore has been invisible since last Tuesday, fucking vanished.
Like in most campaigns, if your candidate is not in front of a crowd that is cheering, you are doing a bad job at this point in the election.
Oh, absolutely.
And they've just hidden him. Which is
it could be a good move.
It might just be brilliant. It might be like very shrewd because, you know, they know
the special
this is tribal. You are voting for Team Red. You are not voting for Roy Moore.
Yeah.
Forget that you're voting for a pedophile. So I don't know. It's interesting. You know, whatever happens, we'll probably be talking about it on.
Well, we'll see,
because
it's going to say a lot, because, you know, the young Republicans of Alabama are like, absolutely not. There are many people who are in the Republican establishment who are like really having really serious doubts about the party because of this, because like, wait, where the fuck are we? Like, have we become that partisan that we are just going to overlook these like very credible accusations against this person?
There's literally no one better to run for Senate in all of Alabama. This was the cream of your crop?
Yeah.
This guy?
I mean, you could have had fucking Luther Strange, but because he's not a Bannonite, that's the other thing, too, is like you have Bannon behind the scenes, like leaning on Sean Hannity to retract him, like his ultimatum to get him to like explain himself, or and also clearly leaning on Trump because suddenly the RNC and the White House are like full Roy Moore. It's wild. So you never know what the fuck is going to happen. Hopefully the right fucking thing happens.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting also just because of Trumpism and Bannonite type, like, you know, there was the Virginia election where the guy supported by Bannon and somewhat like linked to Trump lost. But this is a full throated like Trumpism. You know, Trump didn't endorse him at first during the election, but he was sort of the Trumpist candidate, Trumpiest of the Trump. Frank Rich just wrote an article in New York Magazine called After Trump that is really interesting because it talks about how he thinks Trumpism will outlast Trump and is more powerful than Trump.
Absolutely.
And, you know, he pointed to the primary where the, you know, very clear candidate who represents Trump's values and the values that got Trump elected won over the candidate that Trump officially endorsed just based on his gut, who was more of an establishment person. So it'll be very interesting if this will also be a test of how powerful the sort of populist right-wing Trumpism is in terms of, you know, whether Roy Moore's able to disappear enough to get elected.
Well, yeah. And then also then brings up what happens if he gets elected, and then what will the GOP do if he is actually part of the body of the Senate.
Yeah. Well, we shall see. Caitlin, this was so much fun.
Gentlemen, it is always a delight.
To go out on that note.
Yeah.
That's my stomach's just a stone pit. Like, oh, God, just vote. Just vote.
Caitlin, where can people follow you on?
At RobotCaitlin on Twitter, at CaitlinIsTall on Instagram, and if you really must contact me on Facebook, I won't see it, but you can go ahead and do it. My name is Caitlin Gill. I have a website, CaitlinGillComedy.com. Sometimes my schedule's even up to date, so that's pretty cool.
Miles, where can people follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at MilesOfGray.
You can follow me at Jack_O'Brien. You can follow us at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We are at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We have a Facebook fan page. Just search Daily Zeitgeist. And we have a website that is just dailyzeitgeist.com where you can find our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to all the sources behind all of the stuff we were talking about today if you want to do some homework. And that's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you then.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.